our last time in this epistle. Thank you, Juan. Chapter 5, I want to read verses 7 through 12 this morning, and I want to talk to you on the subject, take heart and have patience. Remember that this book is a test of genuine faith. A lot of people say they have faith, but there's no works or behavior to prove their faith. Yesterday, when we were at the graduation ceremony, one of the speakers, Joe Wright, I believe his name is, teacher there, he invoked the passage from James. I don't know if some of you caught that, but faith without works, he said, is what? Dead. Genuine faith practices to the best of its ability what the Bible teaches. One of the things that Christians ought to be known for is our patience. Patience with the unsaved and patience with the newly saved. James writes, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." Then he gives examples. "Behold, the husbandman or farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. So be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation." Let us pray. Father, I ask the Holy Spirit be our teacher. You convict us where we need convicting. Encourage us too, Father, for you know we deserve to be encouraged. Lord, I ask that you hide me behind the cross. The folks will hear from heaven and recognize that this is a living book. And these words are powerful, more sharper than a two-edged sword. I pray that, Father, you have your way in our hearts, to move us to draw closer to you and closer to your heart's desire that we would win the loss to your Son, Jesus Christ, who has given us eternal life, whose death, burial, and resurrection. Bless us now as we enter into the teaching and the preaching of your word, for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. You know, David prayed in Psalm 70, verse 1, "Make haste to help me," he said, "O Lord." Just like us, David wanted God to hurry up because he wanted God to answer his prayer quickly. "Make haste to help me, Lord." Humanity hasn't changed much. Like David, we don't like to wait. I fell under tremendous conviction just doing this message because one of my faults, is I don't like to wait. I sometimes lack patience. Interesting how God works. I was done this message and then God said, "Now I'm going to make you live it." I went to Walmart and I wanted to get in and get out because I had a lot on my plate. And all I was doing was returning a bad bulb. There were two people in front of me. The one went quick. The other, I thought I was going to need to buy a tent. This man just wanted to pay his electric bill. I didn't even know you could pay your electric bill at Walmart. He was stuck there 20 minutes, and guess who was behind him? And guess what God was saying? He's saying, now I'm going to teach you patience. You know, after a few minutes, and you hear, recognize what's going on, you'd understand that God's at work. So I said, well, God, if I have to stand here for 20 minutes, you're going to have to put up with me talking to you. And that's what I did. I took the time, the best that I could, to pray and not complain. Sometimes God will make you live what you preach. See, we don't like long lines at the supermarket. We want to get in and get out. We don't like the traffic jams downtown and around the shopping malls because it means we have to wait. We hate to wait at the bank or at a restaurant. But then there are those things that are much more difficult for people to wait upon. I think about couples waiting to have a child who have been childless and their hearts break because they want a child. Think about that single person who desires to be married and they're waiting on the Lord to bring them that special partner. It's hard, isn't it, to have patience to wait. And what about an addict? And we live in a day and age where there are many different kinds of addictions and addicts. They're waiting to be delivered. And every day, I'm sure many of them get up and ask God to take that terrible temptation away. What about a spouse who maybe is waiting for a kind and gentle word from her husband or wife? That worried parent waiting for a diagnosis from a doctor. We all know how difficult waiting can be. But what we wait for is far less important than what God is doing while we wait. That came out of waiting 20 minutes. That in 20 minutes, God stops us sometimes, right? And say, now I have your attention because guess what? You're not going anywhere. And I have something to say to you. I want to say that again. What we wait for is far less important than what God is doing while we wait. David said in Psalm 40 in the first verse, I wait patiently for the Lord. That's something we need to aspire to. He said, I wait patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. What a wonderful promise that God will hear us. He may not answer in our time, but He does hear the cry of the saints. I wonder why patience is so hard for our culture, especially we who are Christians, who have the indwelling Holy Spirit that will give us a calmness. But I think part of the problem is the culture and society that we live in. Patience is hard for people who have been exposed to a one-hour Photoshop or take their clothes to the one-hour cleaners, and we get breakfast at a drive-thru, which in our area is not always quick, but anyway. We cook dinners in microwave ovens and we gulp down remedies that offer fast, fast relief. We're conditioned not to have to wait. You know what I read recently, and this kind of blew my mind, that there's a church in Florida that doesn't want their parishioners to wait that long in the service. Now, we're not really waiting in a service. We're supposed to be worshiping, right? Thank you. We're supposed to be here with our heart and our mind focused on how God loves us and what he wants to do. But there's a church in Florida, this is a true story, that advertises 22-minute services. Get in and get out. Go there and they promise in 22 minutes it's all going to be over and the sermon is only 8 minutes long. My introductions are longer than that. I set myself up for that one. It was hymn writer Philip Brooks who admitted, quote, "The hardest task in my life is to sit down and wait for God to catch up to me." Wow. Yeah, that's a good quote. Because if we're honest and we're transparent before God, he knows our hearts, folks. That's sometimes the way we think. God, come on, hurry up! Patience is part of God's strategy many times for maturing us as Christians. It's a lost virtue. We need to cultivate it. Patience is a necessary character trait if you want peace and perseverance for your life. Patience is a virtue. It is for us who are saved, who are born again. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and one must exercise it. Patience can be developed by the Spirit of God if the person desires to give themselves to the Lord and lean on him and learn from him. He will give you patience and calmness in the patience. I've known often times where I know God wants me to be patient, but I'm not always calm. You know? I'm waiting, Lord. But I can tell, you know, internally, I'm not calm. The Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience." It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's easy to lose patience in times of trials and difficulty. And I don't stand here to judge anybody. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to present the Word of God, allow the Holy Spirit to be the teacher and the one who does the convicting. Amen? And it's you who are required to respond accordingly. And see, that is why James gave us this section, because he's saying the genuine test of Christianity is whether or not we meet the requirements. The test. Now, one is always saved by faith through grace, but one exhibits that through the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and patience happens to be one of them. James gives us three examples of patient endurance. He starts in verse 7 through 9, speaking about the patience of a farmer. Did you pick that up? He said, "Be patient, therefore," speaking to these Jewish Christians. "Brethren," brethren is a derivative term, Adelphia, talking to believers. And he's telling them to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. On Wednesday night, we're in 1 Thessalonians. And many of the believers in the church of Thessalonica were impatient about the coming of the Lord. They quit their jobs. And they became busybodies. Because they weren't working. They weren't occupying till the Lord comes. And he will come. Promised he would. But in the interim, we're to be what? Patient. And persevering. And persistent. That's what a farmer's like. He says, "Be patient therefore, brethren." And whenever we see therefore, you see what it's there for. And it refers back to the previous section where he was talking about the trials and the injustices that were inflicted by the rich on the poor. Remember, we talked about that. And we need to be patient because God is the true judge. Amen. We're not the judge. God is. We need to leave the judging to him. We're to be the bearers of the good news, and we're to do the best to be examples of that good news. The word that is used for patient is a compound Greek word. The first part of it is makros, which means long. And the second is thymos, which means temper. We're to have a long temperament. That's the idea of the word. It is the idea to set a timer on one's temper for a long term. Focus on the final lap, as it were, in a race. You must stay focused for the long term. Have a long temperament and be looking ahead for the Lord to come. Don't give up hope. Have a long temperament and patience, for the Lord will come. Now some of you are probably sitting here and going, yeah, the Lord's promised He's coming, but He hasn't come yet. And Peter talked about that. He said in the latter days, people will say that. People will say, yeah, we've heard of the Lord coming, and they will mock that. But man needs to know that God's timing is different than human timing. And He will come in the fullness of time as He did the first time. The Bible said that Jesus would come in the fullness of time at that perfect moment. He gives an example of a farmer. If you are an impatient person, you probably don't want to become a farmer, because farmers have to have patience. If you don't believe me, we have a farmer here, Mr. Dykeman. You have to have patience. You go out there and you till the soil. But just because you till the soil don't mean you're coming out tomorrow and going to reap corn. What does he say here? He says, behold, the husbandman or the farmer waited for the precious fruit of the earth, for the crops, for the harvest. And he has to have long patience for it. He's got to work the soil. They've got to pray for the early rains and the latter rain. That's what he's saying here. The Jewish farmer would do this after the early rains. They would pray. Special harvest prayers. And they had to be patient. God would bless the seed and give the increase. And so they prayed for the early rains, as they called it, in the latter rains, to see the fruit. And you know, you and I are the fruit of the Lord, amen? And God is, as it were, water in the seed. And we're maturing in our faith. I'm going to show you that. Keep your finger there in James, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because this is the analogy that James is making. And the Apostle Paul, he authenticates this in this third chapter in verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. Notice what he says. He uses the analogy of the agrarian society. He says, I have planted. Well, farmers plant, right? The husbandman plants. I have planted, Paul said. You know, you're not going to get something unless you plant something, amen? You got to till the soil, you got to put a seed in or a plant in or whatever. And Paul says, I plant it. Okay, but guess what? Apollos, he was another servant of the Lord, in verse 6, Apollos watered. But who do we give the credit to? God. He said, but God gave the increase. Note verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And so, we gotta work at it. You got the fruits of the Spirit, all of them. Patience is one of them. And I admit before you as a congregation that sometimes I fail miserably on that one. I don't like to wait. But the Lord has been helping me. And he's blessed us with technology. So now when I wait in the car for my wife, who's shopping, I should say, shopping, I now have the Bible and even my sermon on my phone. And I can be content. I'm in the car and I'm reading and I'm listening to podcasts and things of this nature. Sometimes I even watch on Netflix. That's how long she could be. But I've learned that God can give you the tools to have the patience that is within. Got to water it. Got to work at it. Got to use the tools. So many times in our Christian walk of life, we become impatient, and we can even become impatient with God. I want you to quiet your heart here, because this is where we have to do a little business, okay? We can become impatient with God, and it's okay to admit that. You know, God knows our hearts. He knows you better than you know yourself. And I'm sure that maybe somebody sitting here today and you're a little impatient with God because things aren't working out in life exactly as you prayed about or you hoped for. And I wish I could answer why God allows us to wait in your life, but I can't. Only God can. And that's faith. And the just are called to live by what? Faith. Let God have His perfect timing in your life. He will complete in you what He desires. Philippians 1:13 promises that. He will complete the good work in you that He started. James exhorts these believers not to grumble against one another as we continue in verse 9. Grudge not or grumble not one against another, brethren. Again, that endearing term, Adelphius. Lest ye be condemned. The Greek is literally groan. It is the word that conveys a half-suppressed murmuring of impatience and harsh judgment. It's not always uttered aloud, but it's within our heart. But James has exhorted them to be patient, even in bearing wrong from others. And he teaches them to forbear in spirit, not to offend others. Sometimes we can be very impatient with people who aren't at the spiritual level that we are. And we can grieve the spirit in that. We can hinder their spiritual growth because they look up to us. And we can be impatient. I've seen that happen. And it's not a good thing. Folks, when you become impatient with God, it will flow out against others. Amen? I put that little tidbit in the bulletin so you can at least take that home. You may think at times, well, this is just me impatient with God, but if we're not careful, it will affect your relationship with others. The people that we live with, it will affect their lives. The people that we work with, recreate with, and even those we worship with. Bible tells us in Philippians 2:14 that we're to do all things without murmuring and disputing. Boy, I have to confess, there are times I'm complaining because I lack patience. We need to be a little bit more sensitive to the fact that God is doing something. And I think that's the time where God wants to get our attention. I mentioned this a few minutes ago. I have an illustration. A little humorous, but I think you'll get the point. A man's car stalled in the traffic. Ever have that happen? I've had that happen. And you try to start it and it won't start. Well, this poor guy made every effort to restart his engine, but it just would not. And behind him was a chorus of honking horns. And it just made the matter worse. And he didn't know what to do. Car wouldn't start. He couldn't move the car by himself. So he decided he'd get out of his car and he walked back to the first driver. And he said, "Sir, I'm so sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. I tell you what, though, if you'll go up and you give it a try, I'll be happy to sit here and lay on the horn." Really? James gives us the example of the farmer, but then he moves to the prophets. So we go to verse 10. He says, "Now take, my brethren, the prophets." Boy, they were patient, weren't they? Boy, go read the book of Jeremiah. He had to be the most patient prophet ever. I mean, they threw the guy in jail because he preached the word about the judgment of God to come if they did not repent. And as far as we know, Jeremiah did not have one convert except Baruch, who was, by the way, a scribe. But yet he persists. He persists and he persevered. The award will come. Benjamin's an example to us of that. Persist. Persevere. I'm sure he didn't want to go to school every day, but he persists. He persevered. And at the end, there is a reward. And that's what the passage talks about here when it comes to Job. Job persists. And he endured. And he saw the end of the Lord, which means by being patient, he waited and God blessed him. You all read the book of Job. You know what happened. How God blessed him tenfold. James says, "My brethren, consider the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." If you get caught up with a lack of patience, go read about Jeremiah. Read Job. Get into that book and ask God to help you. He will. Verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy or blessed." That's what that word means. We count them. "It is imputed to them happiness." Who what? Endure, persevere, persist. There is an award that will come. And then he talks about the example of Job. You have heard of the patience of Job. Sometimes we give that title to people who have tremendous patience, don't we? I've said it. I say, "Wow, that gentleman has the patience of Job." You've probably heard yourself say it. "Wow, I wish I had the patience of Job. He's got the patience of Job." Well, Job didn't get patience overnight. He trusted God by faith as he languished in pain and boils and affliction and loss. And the Bible says as he persevered, and by the way, you take it one day at a time, because God's only given you the grace sufficient for what? Today. And when we do that, the Bible says, and we will see the end of the Lord. In other words, we persevere, we hang in there, God will bless. I've seen it in our church. I've seen it in the lives of families of our church and in my own life. Because the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You need to know God loves you. Sometimes pain and suffering comes just because we've been faithful to God. Amen? Yeah. And I hate to tell you, we're living in a day and age where that might come more and more as the world around us becomes darker and darker. I spoke about that Wednesday night, that we need to be the light of the world. But sometimes we're hiding our light because we're afraid. And I understand that the culture we live in is getting hostile to Christianity. But what we want the world to know is that God loves them. Christ died for them. And he offers to everyone the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But the truth of the matter is, When one accepts the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely, one does that by repentance. For too long, the church has soft-soaped salvation, haven't they? Go read Acts. Tonight we're in Acts chapter 2. One of the greatest sermons in the Bible was Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. He said, repent and be baptized. You know what we have people today who say, oh, I told God I was sorry. He forgave me. Really? I want you, anybody find that in the Bible, bring it to me, please. You will not find it in the Bible. God says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, He will not hear us. That applies to everybody. We must tell God, this is the sin I did, and God, it violates your character, it violates your holiness, and God, I am sorry, and I don't want this in my life anymore. And I've often told you, if you can come to the attitude where if there was a remedy, a pill, you would have the heart, I'll just take it, I don't want this in my life. But obviously there isn't that pill or remedy, but there is Jesus Christ. I have to hurry. Job is the classic example of a man that patiently endured suffering and was blessed by God for his persevering faith. Unfortunately, too many of us, and I put myself there, I'll be honest, sometimes I whine a little too much, complain. That's when we ought to be counting our blessings. Verse 12, as we finish, it seems to be out of place. I almost said, I'll pick that up next week. And the Lord said, no, you won't, because it fits here. It says, but above all things, my brethren, there it is again, that endearing term. And you notice that James uses this a number of times here, because this is hard stuff. And he's trying to let them know, I love you, the Lord loves you, but you need the medicine. You know how your kids are when they get a cold, and you got that cough medicine, and they gotta take it, and you, come here, sweetheart, you know, you're endearing, but I'm gonna give you this lousy stuff, you know, but you know it's gonna make them better. And that's what this is. I'm not saying it's easy to take. Again, I had to not only prepare this, God had me to live it before I could bring it to you. But above all things, my brethren, swear not. What happens sometimes when you're waiting, you're in the traffic, the guy in front of you for some reason won't move his car, you don't know why, and you're like, come on, buddy, move! What happens? We begin sometimes, if we're honest, we say a swear word. We may say something that we regret that we said. Right? Hey, I'm going to be totally honest with you. And the Bible says that Christians, we've got to be careful that swear not, neither by heaven. Sometimes we invoke God, don't we, when we swear? Yes, we do. And neither by the earth, or neither by any other oath. Don't do that. Sometimes we do that and we don't think about it. We'll say, I swear to God, right? As a Christian, we ought not do that. The Bible tells us not to do that. Above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. Well, what should we do? Just let your yea be yea and your nay nay. When you say yes, follow it up with a positive. And when you say no, let your no be no. Why? Because we're to live honestly. And he says, lest you fall, what? Into condemnation. We can be thankful that God is patient. Okay, I'm done. But I want to close with this, because you truly need to be blessed by this thought. We may not be patient people all the time. And I hope that you have an open spirit to try, and to use the tools that God will give you. He will help you with that. I know He's helped me. But we ought to be very, very thankful that God is patient. We ought to be very thankful that God is long-suffering. In fact, the Bible says in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi that the Jewish community needed to thank God for His long-suffering, for His patience. Because if God wasn't long-suffering and patient, Malachi said, He would have destroyed you a long time ago. But God doesn't, he says, because God never changes. There Malachi spoke of the immutability of God. God doesn't lack patience because He will not change. We can be thankful that our loving God has a long temper. I want you to go to 2 Peter, and we're going to close with this. 2 Peter 3, last chapter, of course, in the second epistle. And I want you just to focus on what he's saying here. Peter says, I want you to understand the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. The long suffering of our Lord is deliverance. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. We need to be thankful that our God is long-suffering, long-tempered, and very patient. He's patient with us because He loves us. If you're here today and you're struggling with this thought of being patient, I would ask you, do you know the God who has patience beyond what you or I could ever imagine? Do you know the God who is so patient with humanity that He provided His own Son to take your place for the penalty of your sin? That's some patience. That He could reconcile the lost humanity back to Himself. I want you to please bow your head. Let's close our eyes and let's just give thanks. Father, thank You that You do bestow upon us through the trials of life patience. And the ability to remain calm through the power of Your Holy Spirit in the midst of turmoil. Because You are God. And we surrender our lives to You. Please take control. When we come to that place in our life where we may lose our patience. Thank You that You have patience with us every day. Thank You that Your patience is long-suffering and Your love is unconditional. Father, if there's someone in the midst of us today suffering with a lack of patience, may they recognize there's hope and deliverance in Jesus Christ. Help them to come to You and surrender to You for patience. And if there's someone among us who cannot say for sure if they die to go to heaven, that right now they would surrender to Jesus Christ, their life, repent of sin, to say, Father, I don't want this. Please, save me a sinner. And with that contrite heart, there's the promise of God that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Let's take our songbook. And let's open to 408. I lost my songbook. 408. Let's stand as we sing. This is a good song to sing at the conclusion of this message, to surrender it all to the Lord. Let's do the first stanza and we'll be dismissed.